Scripture reading today is from Psalm, the book of Psalm 16. It's also in your church Bible, page 423. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is the word of the Lord. It is absolutely true and given to us in love.
Well, hey, if we haven't had the chance to meet yet, my name's Eric. My family and I moved to Greensboro this summer to be a part of the Hope Chapel family with you all, and we feel so grateful to get to be a part of this family with you. This is a really sweet community, and I just want to take a second to say thank you for the loving welcome that you've given us. So many people here helped us unpack and move in, have dropped off meals for us, checked in on us, and most of all have just been giving us the gift of your friendship. It's been a really beautiful thing for us to see, and our family is so looking forward to getting to know you all more as we do life together and growing closer with you all. So thank you. Thank you so much for the loving welcome that you've been giving us and the ways that you've been showing our family Jesus. It's been such a gift for us. Well, when I was in seminary, I had a job working as a doorman at a luxury high-rise condo building. Professional athletes lived there. The CFO of Panera Bread had a home in this unit, and I was a seminary student who was trying to figure out how to survive on $20 a week on groceries, which is possible. Ask me later and I'll show you. One day, one of the homeowners came down to the front desk and she said, I want to give you this bottle of wine as a gift. Now, I'm connecting the dots here. This woman is incredibly wealthy. She has just given me a bottle of some French wine. This is easily going to be the nicest wine that has ever graced our tiny little apartment. And so I bring it home, uncork it, and Becca and I are blown away. I mean, we had never tasted anything like this before. We didn't even know they made wine like this before. And so we're enjoying it. And at one point I said, all right, you know, let me just look this up. And maybe, like on a splurge, like anniversary splurge one day, we could save up and buy a bottle of it. And so I look it up and I found it on sale for $8.99 at the Schnucks grocery store down the street from us. Now to be fair, that was probably easily double what we would pay for a bottle of wine back then. But you know, suddenly it didn't taste as good. I mean, when I thought this thing was a $100 bottle of wine, I was like smelling the cork. I was saying its name in a weird French accent. When I found out it was just a $9 bottle of wine, I was like, do you want any more or should we just kind of pour the rest down the drain? Have you ever had that moment, though, thinking something's going to be so good, only to find out it's not? You know, maybe it wasn't a bottle of Estancia Cabernet. Maybe it was success, approval, a relationship. You know, we can all run after these things that we think will be so good. And And to a point they are. But they have a way of letting us down. Yeah, of being good for a while, but leaving us hungry for something more. So where can we go to find something so good it will finally satisfy us? Well, that's what David's singing about in this psalm. You know, David, he's the king of Israel, who are surrounded by all these other nations who are worshiping their own gods. Nations who are all saying to God's people, we've found it, the thing that will finally fill you up. It'll never let you down. And guess what? You can have it too. You've just got to worship this God. You've just got to chase after what we're chasing after. David, he knows that's what God's people are hearing. He knows that pull. He's felt it in his own heart. He's chased after it himself. And it's why he can write in verse 4, the sorrows of those who run after another God will multiply. David knows where you run for goodness can make you, or it can completely break you. And so he wrote this psalm to help God's people sing what he, in his own time, discovered. You are my Lord. I am no good apart from you. It's a psalm that my heart, that our hearts need to learn to sing too. Because we're just as prone to chase after other gods. You know, they might not have a statue that we can bow down to. They might not have a church where we can go see them in. They're just as real. For me, it might be approval, success, thinking that those are the things that'll finally satisfy me, only to end up disappointed and let down. Well, what if instead of chasing after things that promise goodness but leave us empty, you could discover a goodness that never runs out? A goodness that frees you from that treadmill of constantly chasing after the next thing. A goodness so deep, it can hold you steady, even if just long enough to take the next step when life feels broken. A goodness that even grief can't take away from you, but lets you honestly sing, even through tears. Well, if you're ready for that, then let's look at Psalm 16 together and see a goodness in Christ that truly satisfies. But before we jump in, let me take a moment and pray for us together. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for these friends and this time that we get together to linger in your word as a family. We want to see again the wonder of the gospel and be transformed by your grace upon grace for us in Jesus. And so we pray right now, Spirit, come, work in us. We need you. And take a moment and quietly pray, Spirit, come work in me. Now pray that for a person next to you. Now pray that for all of us here at Hope Chapel this morning. Spirit, come work in us. Transform us by your word into people who more and more can sing God's goodness for us in Jesus. Amen. So David, he starts this psalm describing what it looks like to experience God's goodness in everyday life. He says, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance." Now, some of those words he uses here, they probably feel a little out of touch when you first read them, right? Cup, lot, portion. But when we start to unpack them, you see just how down to earth they really are. David calls God his refuge. A refuge is all about safety. When you're worried, scared, when the pressure's on, where do you go to be safe? And then he calls God his chosen portion. You know, picture something like a meal you've picked out for yourself. Maybe a nice restaurant you like to go to. Maybe a favorite recipe. Maybe cookout. We're not judging. You know when you get it. It's going to make you feel good. And David calls God his cup. This is a cup of nice wine that at a feast back then would get passed around from person to person. And it gave you this sense of satisfaction. And then it all culminates with David saying, "The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance." You know, an inheritance back then, it wasn't money, it was land. Land was everything. And if you knew, you had a big chunk of it coming for you. Your future was set. So you see how down to earth this really is? Where do you go to be safe? To be satisfied? To find hope for your future? And the answer David gives to all of those is God. "You are my Lord," he says. "I have no good apart from you." David's saying, I've learned that when I look for safety, satisfaction, hope, I find them in God. Not perfectly. It didn't happen all at once for him. But really and truly alone, those things are found in God. Now, that doesn't mean that that things like, say, work or family or your house are bad. No, those are good gifts that God loves to give. It's just that when I try to make them the place that I run to get safety, satisfaction, hope, they can't hold that weight. Only God can. You know, David's invitation here in Psalm 16 is to find in God everything that's good. Because God is good. That's who he is. You know, life with God, as we just sung, is learning over and over to taste and see that the Lord is good. Guys, there's no hidden, sinister side of God that we ever have to worry about uncovering. Well, we'll never find out one day that the God behind closed doors was really the opposite of the public image he gave off to everyone else. No, he's good all the way down. But if you're like me, that's hard to believe sometimes, isn't it? What about when the lines don't fall for you in pleasant places? When they fall in jagged, broken places? You know, at some point we've all asked, how could a good God allow this? Maybe you're asking that today. Maybe from looking at tragedies that are happening around our world, or from a personal place of heartache and harm. And maybe you've wanted to say, God, where were you when this happened to me? Do you know you can? Friend, God invites those questions from you. He wrote them into the Psalms over and over as if to say, I know you'll think you can't ask me this. But go on. It's okay. Ask me. God's not embarrassed or put off when we wrestle with his goodness. He actually welcomes it. In fact, he even loves us enough to give us the words to pray when he doesn't feel like our beautiful inheritance. That could only come from a God who's so secure in his goodness that he can hold both our doubts and our trust. But if this was all Psalm 16 had to say, it'd feel like something was missing, right? If your heart's like mine, you know how easy it is to look for safety, satisfaction, hope in places that can't hold them. And that's where David goes next. See, Israel, like I said, they're surrounded by these nations who are all chasing other gods. But David knows that that's not just a problem for those people out there, but also for us too in here. And so he says in verse 4, the sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. And if we're honest, that's our struggle too. Idolatry is any time we make a good thing, into the ultimate thing. When we take some good gift God's given us and we jump it over God so it becomes the ultimate thing in our life. And the reality of our fallen hearts is that we all have some other gods that we run after. You know, on your iPhone, if you go into screen time, you can get a list of the apps that you have most used in that last week. And it can say a lot about what got your attention. You want to know mine the last week? It's not very exciting. I'm gonna temper you with that right now. Safari, ESPN Crick Info, because I got to stay up to date on all the latest news going on in cricket. Gmail, and BBC News, because world events just sound so much better when they're read out loud with a British accent. If we could take a screen time report of your heart, what would be the things at the top of the list? What would be some of the things that have captured your attention? Good things, but that have maybe started to become the ultimate thing. Here's maybe another way to think about it. When God doesn't feel like enough, where do I run for safety, satisfaction, hope? You know, maybe it's work. Thinking if I can just be successful enough in my career, at my office, around my coworkers, then I'll finally be satisfied. Maybe it's relationships. If I can, I can't feel safe and secure unless I have this person's approval. Maybe it's your religious performance. You know, my hope for the future is banking on how well I can keep a smile on God's face. Can I tell you a big one for me? That me, my family could use your prayer for? This job. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love it. But being a pastor, being in ministry, that can become an idol for me. And if you're around me long enough, you can start to tell when I'm slipping into that, when I'm really struggling with that. I start trying to be everywhere, know everything, please everyone. You know, it's going to be different for all of us, but we've all got some things that are competing with God for those top spots on the screen time report of our hearts. But a lot of times, it's not just pride or selfishness that drives us there. A lot of times, our idols grow out of our pain. And when the lines fall for us in broken places. Instead of bringing our hurt to God, we take it somewhere else. We run to work to numb the ache. We run to approval to feel safe again. We run to religious performance to try to earn back what we lost. I mean, it's why my idols can feel so alluring, because they promise to heal what hurts. But in the end, David says, they only multiply our sorrows. They might give us a sense of what we're looking for. I mean, for a moment, we feel safe, we feel satisfied, we feel hopeful, but that feeling, it never lasts. Sometimes it takes months, sometimes years. But in the end, what we've been running after, it doesn't deliver. They multiply our sorrows. You know, living for work success can end up hurting the people we love. Chasing after approval can strip away our voice and we lose our dignity. Religious performance can harden us toward other people or completely burn us out. See, David, he's giving us this gentle warning as someone who knows this firsthand. Our idols can't give us what we're looking for. And the stakes couldn't be higher. But even here, in naming this, I think Psalm 16, it's awakening us to something deeper. This desire we have for a goodness that lasts. You know, don't you long for something more? Don't you want a goodness that won't fade, fail, or crush you? That's the ache that David's awakening in us, a hunger for this goodness that'll never run out. But here's the question. Could David really deliver that? He says in verses 9 and 10, "Therefore, my heart is glad. My whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption." But what happened to David? He died. His body did fall apart. So what's he singing about here? Well, in Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter, standing in front of a crowd of people, tells us that David was actually looking forward, and he was singing here in this psalm about Jesus. See, guys, Christ is the true singer of Psalm 16. He always set the Lord before him. He never chased after other gods. His chosen portion and cup was God's love. His beautiful inheritance was his Father's delight in him. Where Israel and you and me ran after other gods, Jesus alone perfectly sang, "You are my Lord. I have no good apart from you." It was the song he sang all the way to where the lines didn't fall for him in pleasant places. Where on the cross, Jesus was shaken, abandoned. Where he suffered our multiplied sorrows, the consequences of all the ways we've run after other gods. That was supposed to be our lot, but on the cross, Christ said, "Let me carry it instead. Let me suffer it for you, so you can have my Father's multiplied mercies and the joy of my beautiful inheritance." Christ died and he was buried, but unlike David, he didn't see corruption. He went to the grave carrying our sorrows, but his Father's love was stronger than death, and it raised him up so that now, ascended and seated on high, Christ can sing for us, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And Jesus' daily invitation to you is to sing that song with him, to get in on his resurrection celebration. You know, my family, my parents once were on a European vacation, and their bus was driving to this town in the Netherlands. But when they got up to the town, they couldn't actually get into it. There were people out everywhere. There was music, people were singing and celebrating. Their town soccer team had just won the National Cup, and they were throwing a party. I mean, this thing was huge. It was so massive, the bus couldn't even get through. And so there, the bus is stuck. So what do? You get off the bus, and you join the party. And so that's what they did. The whole bus unloaded, and they hopped in on the celebration. In fact, to this day, my parents have a picture of them and some random Dutch people that they just met, celebrating a victory that my parents had nothing to do with. Guys, that's the gospel. Jesus won for us a beautiful inheritance. We had nothing to do with it. And now he's saying, don't stay on the bus. Come join the party. I am the Holy One who died but didn't see corruption. In my presence, there's fullness of joy. At my right hand are pleasures forevermore. So jump into his resurrection celebration, whether for the first time or for the thousandth time. It's not just the way into the Christian life. It's the way we keep going every day. Every day we bring Christ the pieces of our idol chasing, our fear, our striving, our shame, not beating ourselves up, but turning again from what can't give us life and handing it to the Savior who's already carried it to the cross for us. That's what repentance looks like. And as we do, Jesus keeps renewing us in the gospel so we can sing this song with him. Because he doesn't leave us in the sorrows of chasing idols. No, he wants us to feast on his goodness. You know, maybe you're carrying sorrows today from choices that you've made and running after another God. Friend, Christ carried those sorrows all the way to the cross so that now you could live in his Father's multiplied mercies. And maybe you're sensing right now how much you've been chasing after some idol in your life, success, approval, reputation. Maybe you've been running for a long time today. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus has become your refuge. He left heaven, entered your sorrow, died your death, and rose to bring you under the shelter of his Father's care. And when your heart wanders again towards other gods, his refuge is still open wide for you. Or maybe you're not chasing after things like money or career or reputation. Maybe it's been the idol of religious performance, measuring your life by what you've done for God. Psalm 16 reminds us Jesus' beautiful inheritance is just that. It's an inheritance. It's something we don't achieve. It's something we receive. And Christ is holding out the invitation to you this morning. Come inside. Join the party. Not to earn, but to feast. So how do we do this? How does Jesus' song become our song? There's a woman, she's still alive, named Rosemary Miller. She's the wife of a longtime pastor named Jack Miller. She's someone who, she knew her Bible inside and out. I mean, if you sat in on one of her Bible studies, you'd walk away impressed, thinking, wow, she knows a ton. But one day, she woke up and realized all this great stuff that she knew, it was just living up here, but it wasn't changing her down here. And here's how she described the moment. She said, I realized I knew the lyrics of the gospel, but my heart wasn't singing its music. Have you felt that way before? You know the lyrics, but your life isn't singing its music. I have. I slip in and out of that all the time. So how does our heart and life start singing with Jesus here, this song of God's goodness? By slowly, through the Spirit, being captivated by something better. God's goodness for us in Christ. That at the cross, Jesus carried our multiplied sorrows and rose to share his beautiful inheritance. And now, by his Spirit, he keeps renewing our hearts in his grace to sing a new song. Jesus, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. And as that song, as it starts to take root in us, it frees us. We don't have to keep chasing after things that can't satisfy, because in Christ we've found a fullness that finally does. A goodness that frees us from the treadmill of constantly chasing after the next thing. A goodness deep enough to hold you even when life feels broken. A goodness even grief can't take away, but we can keep singing even through tears. So what could this look like? Well, maybe instead of running harder and harder, chasing the next promotion, the next relationship, thinking that this will finally give me what I'm looking for. This will finally give me that safety, that satisfaction, that hope that I want, that I was made for. Because Jesus ran hard after us, leaving heaven, entering our sorrow, rising to share with us his joy. We don't have to keep chasing those things anymore. The pole of our idols suddenly doesn't disappear, but now we get to face that with grace. Because we know Christ's goodness, it's already ours. It wasn't earned, it was a gift, and this starts to change the way now that I hold and enjoy my work, my family, my future as good gifts, but not the ultimate thing in my life. Or when the lines fall for us in broken places, when we feel overwhelmed by sadness and grief. Psalm 16 isn't telling us to just put on a happy face. The gospel makes space both for our grief and our joy. It says to us, because Christ suffered our multiplied sorrows, we can be honest that sorrow is real. And because he rose to turn them into multiplied mercies, we can at the same time be confident that sorrow isn't final. Grief is right, but it won't be the last word. Resurrection joy will. Sometimes that's going to feel really faint. It's going to feel like music playing somewhere in the next room. But even then, the Spirit helps us to hold two things at once, to lament with honesty and sing with hope, to keep singing God's goodness to us in Christ, even through tears. Guys, this is the song that Jesus is inviting us to sing with him today. You don't have to keep running after things that can't give you what you're longing for. Jesus has bore your sorrows. He's risen to share his joy, even when we still feel that pull of our idols. Even when life seems hard, Jesus meets us in that ache and keeps singing over us. Keeps singing over you. His invitation is the same. Come and rest in a goodness that'll never run out, because that goodness is Jesus. Amen. Amen.